Don't try this at home. I'm a trained professional. I got years and years of practice living this life I lead. Don't try this at home. I'm a trained professional. And I don't want no amateurs ending up like me. I don't want no amateurs ending up like me.
Hello, friends, and welcome to the Homeowner's Friend Podcast. As I almost get myself killed, somebody's pulled in front of me. I'm Steve, your host, and today we're going to talk about something that's not particularly home-related, except that I know a lot of folks that work on homes also work on their cars. We're going to talk a little bit about brakes, particularly disc brakes and how they work. I know it's a little bit off the topic, but I just did a full brake job on actually two of my cars last weekend, so I'm kind of fresh with it and figured, yeah, there's probably some folks out in the audience that don't really know a lot about them and would probably like to hear from somebody who's done it a few times. I'm not a mechanic, so don't, regular full-time mechanic. So I'm sure I don't know everything there is to know about them by any stretch. But I know enough to stay out of trouble, so I'll partake that little bit of knowledge and hopefully at least get you on the right track if you do want to do some maintenance on your own car in that area. If not, whatever. There's always a stop button, right? Anyway, I want to congratulate Will out in San Diego. He won the listener appreciation contest, and he got himself the emergency kit and actually went off in the mail the other day. So congratulations to Will. Still got two prizes left. If somebody wants to win one of them, just drop me an email just explaining how you like the show, how the show's helped you, and you'll be in the running. I still got a nice bit driver set and also a copy of Lou Rawls' book, Patriots. So with that, we'll get into the topic. First, I think we'll just talk a little bit about how they work. Kind of in a grand scheme, and then we'll get into a little bit of troubleshooting, and then actually how to do a brake job, how to take them apart and, you know, repair the various parts. So basically, when you hit your brake pedal, you're pushing a lever that goes up into your firewall, and you're actually pushing on a cylinder, which is called the master cylinder. It's like a piston. You're pushing a piston, and that piston is pushing fluid through four lines, basically, down to your wheels, where your brake cylinders are. We'll talk about those in a minute. But that hydraulic pressure is actually what actuates the brakes to make the car stop. Almost all modern cars now have analog brake systems, which are in that loop as well under the hood. And how analog brakes work is there's basically four sensors on each wheel. And they send back to the computer of the car, or a computer in the car, a signal that basically represents the speed of the wheels, the speed that the wheels are turning. And the computer looks at those, and if all four wheels are, you know, pretty close to the same speed, nothing happens. But if the computer notices that one wheel has stopped, and the other three of the other wheels have not stopped, or even if they stop, if like all four of them stop immediately, It figures that the car is in a, and of course if you're hitting your brake, it knows that as well, because there's a little switch when you hit your brake that turn on the brake lights, and that same signal goes into the computer, so it knows you're hitting the brakes. And if those things happen, if you're hitting the brakes and all four wheels stop, the computer figures you're in a lockup situation, and it'll immediately start activating the analog brake system. Now what that does is basically emulates you pumping your brake. You know, they always said in the old days that you should, you know, on slippery roads, you should kind of pump your brakes, or, you know, put your brakes on if you feel them lock up to kind of start pumping. And you basically, ABS does the same thing, but it does it a whole lot more efficiently. A, it does it very fast, perhaps faster than you could do it with your foot. But the second thing it does is it doesn't do it to all the wheels. It only does it to the wheels that are actually locking up. So the wheels that are locking up, it keeps the brakes on, which keeps the car stopping, which is a good thing. So it's more efficient than doing it the manually, you know, the old-fashioned way. And it does it without you thinking about it. So you don't really have to, you know, I know many drivers are very good and up on these things, but if you're a driver that, you know, a new driver, you know, kid, whatever, that really doesn't understand how these things work too much, and they get in a situation, it will automatically do the right thing for the driver. And, you know, even in a panic situation, I know I've been there. I've locked up all fours, you know, in the old days. And didn't pump quick enough, fast enough to be able to do the best stop I could. And, you know, ABS just takes care of that for you. It just, you know, it helps you stop quicker. And that just reminds me of a totally separate topic. But back in the day, I had like a 1984 Reliant K car, which is kind of funny. And I was fond of that little car. It wasn't a bad little car. And, I was like in high school, or actually college at that point. It was my second car. My first car was an old Ford Falcon, which also was a pretty cool car, but it was kind of rusting away. So I was happy with the K car, because that thing had air conditioning, and it was, you know, it was fairly new. We bought it from one of these rental car places, you know, used, and I enjoyed that old buggy. But anyway, I just thinking, because I just read the book, it was Lee Iacocca's autobiography, and if you're into cars, it's kind of a fun book to read, and it's not a boring book. It's an interesting book, because it talks about how he grows up, and, you know, you can skip through that part. I mean, it's interesting, but then it gets into the part where he got hired at Ford Motor Company, and it really talks a lot about his early days at Ford, how he started as an engineer, and worked up through the ranks, up to being their CEO, you know, the head guy, I think they call it CEO, at Ford, and how he started off being very good friends with Henry Ford Jr., I guess it was, and ended up getting fired by him, and, you know, several years later. But Lee, you know, he invented, basically, you know, developed and invented, or under his watch anyway, the Mustang, and really did a lot of good for Ford. So it's in a very interesting book, and then of course it goes into his whole Chrysler trilogy when he took over Chrysler in I think it was 85, I guess it was. No, 75. Anyway, it must have been 75. I'm losing my mind. But anyway, when he took it over, when they were going bankrupt and all that, and he talks all about all the problems Chrysler had and how he fixed them and stuff. It was a very interesting read, anyway, if you're into that kind of thing. Just an aside. But anyway, it just popped into my mind as I was talking about brakes and stuff. So it's kind of interesting. Chrysler, by the way, according to this book, Chrysler was the first company that used hydraulically actuated brakes. So they're actually were the ones that kind of invented that or first used it. It's kind of an interesting little tidbit. You'd thought it'd be Mercedes or one of the bigger companies, but it was a little Chrysler. But anyway, so that's how ABS works anyway in a nutshell. Down at the wheels, you have, on each wheel, you have another cylinder that's basically, you know, slave cylinder. It's operated by the pressure in the fluid, and when that fluid pressure goes up after you hit the brakes, that fluid drives another little cylinder, a little piston, that or piston in the cylinder, I should say, and that actually pushes on the brake liners, you know, the pads or the discs, and that rubs up against the part of the wheel and actually slows the car and stops the car. And that part of the wheel is actually either the disc or the drum, depending on the kind of brakes you have. Disc brakes are the newer style, and they're more efficient, probably less expensive to make, certainly easier to fix, I think. And, you know, I certainly would recommend you get disc brakes in your car if you have a choice. I know when I bought my Honda, they had Hondas, to this day, put disc on the front and drum on the back on their basic LX and DX and LX models of the Accord, but they had a special edition that I bought, which had disc brakes all the way around. It kind of had that little feature, so that's why I went the extra grand or two just to get that feature. It had a few other little things too, but I really liked the fact that it had the disc brakes, so I went that way. But a lot of the basic cars now still have drum brakes in the rear, which kind of makes me cringe. But anyway, they work. They're just not as good as disc brakes. Some cars actually have both. I know we have a Crown Vic. That car actually has both in the back. It has a disc brakes for stopping, and it also has a small drum brake setup inside the hub, which is actually the parking brake for the car. But you know, you really never work on that because it doesn't wear out. I mean, you don't hit the parking brake going down the road to stop, hopefully. So it doesn't really ever wear out. You might have to take it apart. you know, if the car is 10 years old and clean it out or something, just so that the parking brake keeps working. But pretty much it's sealed in there and you really don't really ever deal with it. So it's not really a big deal. So in a nutshell, that's how they work, very briefly. So a little bit on diagnostics or diagnoses if you suspect there's a problem. You know, when you hit your brakes, you shouldn't really hear anything and you shouldn't feel anything. The car should just stop. If the car is pulsating, pulsating generally means that you have a warped rotor. That's usually a disc brake scenario. What happens is the rotors, which is what the brake pads rub against, obviously they get very, very hot. And if they get too hot, and or if somebody over-torques the lug nuts, which can also screw them up, what happens is the... stuck here in traffic, folks. What happens is the rotor actually bends a little bit, actually warps a little bit. And what that does is it as that thing turns and it's actually moving a little bit, it causes your brakes to kind of, brake you unevenly because of the wobble of the rotor, so to speak. So that's what causes the shakiness or the uneven stops. You know, when you're at the highway, if you have a really bad warped rotor and you hit the brakes at the highway, it almost feels like the whole car is going to fall apart. I mean, it really starts shaking. Your wheel could be shaking. And then as you slow down, you just start to feel more of a pulse in your brake. You're braking. If that's happening, you know, I've had a million cars have done that very lightly. You know, if it's doing it very lightly, it's not the end of the world. If it gets so it's really, really pronounced, you know, you probably want to address that. I typically have to either turn or replace the rotors. We'll talk about those in a little bit. But, if it's really bad, you want to take care of that, because that is going to affect your stopping, in addition to just being very, very annoying, as this traffic is that I'm stuck in right now. Now, another problem, of course, if you're going down the road and you hit your brakes and the wheels are pulling one way or the other, if you hit the brakes and the car is trying to drive into the guardrail or into the middle of the road or whatever, you know at that point that one side or the other is braking more than the other. If, for example, if you only turned, if you could, and you can't, you know, it's all automatic, but if you could just turn your front right brake on when you hit the brake, your car would immediately steer toward the right, because that wheel is trying to stop you, right? And the other one isn't, so it's going to make it unbalanced, and it's going to make the car want to go that way. It's going to make the car pull to the right. If you're sensing this, you really need to get your brakes looked at or look at them yourself very quickly, because that's kind of a dangerous warning sign. Chances are it can be one of two things, although I suppose it could be other things. But typically what you'll see is it's either going to be a frozen slide, which is allowing only one of the pads to stop your car. We'll talk about that more in the future, which is going to cause uneven wear of your pads and could cause you to actually... run out of pad and ruin your rotor much before the other side does. So that's not a good thing. You want your brakes to wear kind of evenly. The other possibility is that you may have a leak in your brake cylinder, which could be leaking fluid, which could be getting on the pad, or something else could be getting on the pad and causing it to just not work well because you're lubricating the pad and there's not as much friction, so it doesn't stop as well. Typically, it's one of those two items that's wrong. And you really, you know, in either case, you want to get those fixed pretty quickly. One is going to cause a lot more damage down the road, and the other one is just downright unsafe because you've lost, you know, the front wheels of your car provide, you know, 60 to 70% of the stopping power. If one of those isn't working properly, you've just lost a lot of stopping power. So you want to make sure you keep your brakes up to snuff and in good shape for obvious reasons. Now, the last little issue that I'll talk about, and I'm sure there's many, many others, but it's noises. This is the other big complaint with brakes. Brakes can make squeaking noises, can make grinding noises, and other kinds of noises as well. When your brakes are squeaking, that may or may not be an issue. Some brakes just squeak. I've had cars that just squeak a little bit when you hit the brakes. It's just the way the pads are. The composition of the pads or whatever, and it just squeaked. I mean, it just wasn't anything, you know, there wasn't anything wrong. There was plenty of meat on the pads. Everything was fine. It was just squeaked. But quite often, a squeaky brake means that your pads are getting worn down. Many of the companies have some kind of a wear indicator in their pads when they get down pretty low. you know, they put a little bit of, I don't know, a little chunk of metal in there or something, so that when you hit your brakes, they start squeaking to give you an audible indication that something's wrong, and you have your brakes checked. So that's one thing that can be wrong. Any other thing is, like I say, they could be just squeaking, just this, you know, when you hit your brakes, sometimes the pads start vibrating, basically, like, you know, harmonically vibrating, and that's what you're hearing is in the squeak. Is you're hearing that vibration of the pads clattering, and that's what makes the sound. So, you know, again, sometimes it's just low brake pad thickness, and sometimes it's nothing. So it just depends. You can also hear other things, you know, like clunking or whatever, which is probably an indication that something's loose up there. You know, if there's some kind of a problem, you probably would want to look at that immediately as well. That could be that something's really coming apart. I'm hearing a siren, but I don't see the light, so I don't know where this is coming from. Maybe you hear it. I'm just stuck here in traffic as usual. I'm moving, but not very fast. It's kind of why I like the podcast. Keeps my mind off the traffic on the way in. Otherwise, I'm you know, swearing up and down about these crummy roads here in Connecticut. So the last thing I'll talk about is... yeah, there's an ambulance coming, but it's quite a ways back. The last thing I'll talk about is the grinding scenario. When you hit your brakes, you'll feel or hear a grinding sound. That is a very bad sign. That's a sign that your brake pads are gone and you're rubbing metal on metal. That's an issue that you want to definitely get addressed as quick as possible. You want to immediately take a look at the pads and see what's going on. Okay, now I had to let the ambulance go by. That was pretty loud. I hope that there's not a serious problem in that ambulance, because it's kind of stuck in traffic, barely moving with the rest of us. Okay, so you've come to the conclusion that there may be something wrong with your brakes, and or you just want to inspect them. So let's take a look at them. Obviously, you got to pop your tires off, your wheels off. Makes sense. Jack your car up, take your wheels off. Not going to talk about that. It's pretty straightforward. Once you get your wheels off, you know, get a good work light, and you can start looking at your pads. Now, what you're going to have when you take your wheels off is you're going to see the shiny metal disc thing that's round. That's actually your disc that's what stops your car. Well, that's what the pads ride against. You'll see the shiny surface on the front. And there's another shiny surface on the back, which you probably won't be able to see as easily. What I usually do is, if I'm on the left side of the car, for example, I'll turn the steering wheel to the left. Or if I'm on the right, I'll turn it to the right. It just makes life a little bit easier. Usually the brakes are on the front side of the wheel. And if you turn, you know, that way, like, you know, say if you're on the left and you turn it to the left, it's just easier to look at them, easier to work on them and look at them. Then I'll get a shop light or a flashlight or something. And if you look at the side of that disc, where the braking assembly is, there's usually a little area there where you can look in, and see the two pads and see the rotor in the middle, or the disc, the rotor. The disc is also called the rotor. Or it is called the rotor, actually. I don't know why I'm calling them discs. It's called disc brakes, but the rotor is the part that turns, and the pads are actually what stop the car. So anyway, you can see you can see the rotor, and you can see the pads. Now, if you look, you'll see the rotor. That's pretty obvious. Obviously, a big heavy metal thing. You won't really see the shiny sides because the pads are going to be there, but you'll certainly see the large metal rotor. A lot of times it's vented, so the middle of the rotor will be kind of open with little air gaps in there, and then there'll be, you know, metal on either side. Although in some case, if you're looking at like a back rotor, sometimes they're not ventilated. It'll just be a, you know, kind of a thick hunk of metal, and you'll see that, and then you'll see. Outside of that, on either side, you'll see the brake lining, the actual pad, the stopping material, and then you'll see the metal backer for the pads itself. So it's kind of a multi-layered deal there. And if you only see the pads, I mean, if you only see the rotor, and then you really just immediately see the backers of the pads, you know your brakes are down at next to nothing. You should be able to actually see the pad in there. And when they're new, you know, it certainly depends on the car, but when pads are new, they're a good, I don't know, 3/8, half inch, maybe even 5/8 of an inch thick, depending on, you know, the vehicle. if you're looking at them and they're, you know, maybe a quarter of an inch thick or an eighth of an inch thick, you know they pretty much had it. And they need to be replaced. If you're looking at them and they're still, you know, they're still 3/8 of an inch thick or something like that, you've got enough meat, you probably don't need to replace them. The other thing you want to look to is look at the front and the back one. There's two pads. There's the inner and the outer pad. You want to look at them both. They should be roughly even in their thickness. If one is much thicker than the other, then that means you don't have an even breaking situation. Either the inside or the outside is breaking more than the other, causing it to wear unevenly. If that's the case, you need to clean your slides and you need to replace your pads. So that's something to look for as well. I mean, if they're just a little bit off and there's still plenty of meat, you can probably run them for a while longer. But chances are, you'll find that one is much, much more worn than the other, and that's usually indicative of you've had pulling when you're stopping. So you'll kind of know that something's wrong. Although, you know, if it just starts to pull, you might catch it where it really didn't wear too unevenly. You know, if you did it within a few days of you noticing it, it might not damage it at all. It just depends. But you look at the pads, the inner and the outer pads, and see, you know, how thick they are. If you look, in a service manual or whatever, it'll tell you what the minimum thickness is for the pads. You know, when the auto manufacturer considers them to be shot, and you can get in there and actually measure them if you have the right kind of, you know, micrometer or whatever. But I never do that. I just look at them, and I know roughly how thick they are new, and then you can take a look at them and see how bad they are. You can go and buy your if you suspect your brakes are shot, you can go buy the pads, and then you'll have them. And when you start looking at them, you'll just look for that piece, and it'll make it a little bit easier for you to find. And you'll also know how thick they are when they're new, and you can see what's left, and you can pretty much judge, you know, what percentage is left, if any at all. Now, I just did my wife's car. I took it for a drive, and I was out, and we were just going running an errand, and I hit the brakes, and, you know, it was fine. And we got just about stopped, and I started noticing ever so slightly. I mean, I could barely detect it, but ever so slightly, I was hearing a little bit of a grinding. I said, that doesn't sound bad. It doesn't sound good, rather. Excuse me. Sounds bad. Doesn't sound good. So I took, came home and decided it was time to do the brake job. I went down and got all the parts, and because I knew they got to be getting low. I was going to check them anyway. I figured they were getting bad because I hadn't done them in quite a while, and her driving's mostly, you know, kind of a city type driving. So I knew the pads were probably shot anyway. So I just bought a set. I did the backs first, and they were down, you know, three quarters gone, two thirds to three quarters gone. Then I did the fronts, and the front left, front driver's side pad, one of them, I think it was the inner or the outer, was pretty much gone. I mean, it was pretty much metal on metal. So good thing I did them when I did them. So you can look at the thickness and see what you've got there. Then check the other wheels, check your other side, and then check check the rear as well. You need to, you know, jack all fours up and look at all four sides. Sometimes you'll notice that one side's grabbing more than the other. Sometimes you'll notice the back's worn quicker than the front, or the front quicker than the back. Usually the front wears before the back, but not always. This Honda I did, I actually wore the back brakes out before I wore the front brakes out for some strange reason. So, it just depends how the car is made and how you drive it and stuff like that. But take a look at the pads and see how worn they are. And if they're shot, then get another set. Now, word about rotors, or discs, as I sometimes call them. The rotors, they wear out as well as the pads, but usually not as quick. There's all the rotors have a minimum thickness rating, kind of like the pads do. New there'll be a certain thickness, and then when they need to replace, there'll be another certain thickness. Now, there's two ways. Basically, when you do a full brake job, you're supposed to do something with the rotors. You're supposed to usually either take them off and have them turned, which basically a shop will put them in a lathe, especially made for doing this little project, and they actually grind off a hair on the rotors on the inside and the outside, and it resurfaces the rotors. That's what they call it, resurfacing, and it'll take out any warpage. And we'll make a nice smooth surface for the brakes to work on. The other option is just to replace them. Now, it's almost getting to the point where it makes sense to just replace them. It depends on where you live and if there's somebody around that'll turn them. In Connecticut, it's hard to find somebody that will actually turn them. And if they do turn them, they're going to want $15 or maybe $20 to turn the damn things. And I could buy a new rotor for $40 to $50. So it's getting to the point where there's a diminishing return there. Once a rotor's turned or resurfaced, it also becomes thinner. And the thinner the rotor is, the more apt it is to actually warp. So it's if you drive real easy and in slow speeds and stuff like that, and you don't use your brakes a lot, or you're very gentle on your brakes, you could probably have them turned and be fine. If you do a lot of high-speed traveling where you're hitting the brakes, you know, to stop in traffic from high speeds and things like that, I would recommend just replacing the damn things. But you can make your own call on that. And the other thing, of course, depends on the thickness. You may have to replace them. When you bring them to have them turned, the person that's going to do the turning or the resurfacing is going to measure them for you, and they will tell you if they're too thin to turn or not, if there's enough meat left on them to take one more swipe. Now, when you're inspecting your pads, you want to, of course, look at your rotors as well. Now, they should be, obviously they should be nice and shiny and clean, at least where the pads rub. The rest of it will probably be all rusty. But you want to, I usually run my finger along that, around that groove, the part where the pads hit, the shiny part. Kind of put your finger, rub it in from the inside to the outside, and just feel it. It's going to have some slight grooves in it, some slight ridges, just the way the pads wear in. But there really shouldn't be any deep grooves or any deep ridges. I mean, if your finger's getting stuck there or it's really bumpy, and it's kind of hard to give you an amount, but basically if the rotors are scored or have enough bumps in them so that you can feel them and really see them, you probably need to do something with those rotors. Probably too scored to be used again. Most of the times when I do brakes, because I usually don't wait that long, usually the rotors are actually pretty smooth. Even if I replace them a lot of times, they're still pretty smooth. Where the pads hit, it's going to be a little bit worn in from the edges and from the middle. You'll notice that. But beyond that, the worn part is usually pretty smooth. So, you want to look at that. If there's a big gash in the rotor on the inside or on the outside, that's indicative of you having no pads left and you're rubbing metal on the pad, some metal part from the, like the pad backing or the rivet or something that holds the pads on to the backing, that's actually digging into the rotor as you stop. If you see that, you obviously have to replace your rotors. You can't turn that out. I mean, unless it's very, very minor, you're certainly not going to get that turned out. So, if that's the case, or if you just have a lot of miles on your car, you're going to have to replace your rotors. Now, shop around. A lot of times you can get rotors at places like Motomart, the auto parts, Napa, Motopart, Advanced Auto is usually where I go. It depends on the change you have around your home. This is obviously listened to all over the place. But those are kind of the ones we have here, Acme. Check around, call around and do some pricing, because the rotors can be different prices. I always recommend getting the pads themselves at the dealer if you can, because they're kind of made better for the vehicle. The braking material is the best. It's designed for that vehicle and that braking system. And I think you're much less apt to get any kind of squeaking if you get pads from the dealer. However, having said that, I put aftermarket pads on this car and they're working just fine. So if you get good quality aftermarket pads, you'll be fine as well. But things like rotors, if you get them at the dealer, you're probably going to pay through the nose. So just do some shopping. The rotors that you get from these auto parts stores are mainly made in China, but they're fine. The ones I put on here seem to be fine. I got a smooth stop, so they're not bad in any way that I can see. So you looked at your pads, you come to the conclusion you've got to change them. So you want to go and buy, you want to go and buy your pads. Now when you go shop for pads, there's going to be different levels or grades or qualities or price points in the pads. You're going to have basic pads and you're going to have better pads. I always get the better ones because it's usually not a big deal in the pricing difference. Maybe actually twice as expensive, but I mean, they're not that expensive to begin with. My Accord for the fronts, I could get the most basic, semi-metallic pad, organic pad, which was, I think they were like $22 or $26 or something. And the best one I could get, which was a new type of called ceramic pads, were like 40-something bucks. So it cost me like 20 bucks more to get the best pads. You know, whoop-de-doo, I'm going to do that. I'm not going to worry about it. It's more of a pain in the ass to change them than it's worth to try and save $5 or $10. So, you know, look at the different brands, talk to the guy, see what he recommends, or lady, see what they recommend. And, you know, if you're really up on it, you can get the cheaper ones, but I always recommend getting some better pads. They usually have more features, better materials, they may last longer. A lot of pads have a lifetime warranty on them nowadays, some do not. Look at that if that matters to you. Again, you know, it's 40 bucks for the pads, but it's a pain in the ass to do the job, so, you know, maybe the lifetime ones will last longer. At least if you do have to do them again, you won't have to pay for pads. But, you know, it's just a pain in the neck to do the brake, so that's why I try and get the better ones, just to try and make them last a little longer, so I don't have to deal with it. So get your pads and rotors, and I, you know, before you even take the wheel apart to start replacing the pads, you know, compare your parts that you got to the parts that are on the car. Make sure they kind of look the same, that they're the same size, they kind of have the same shape, you know, because it's not unusual to get the wrong parts from the dealer, or not from the dealer really, but from the auto parts store. You know, my Crown Vic, I did the backs on that, and I got the wrong pads. They were boxed wrong. It's just the wrong pads were in the wrong box. They were very similar, but there was a difference in the middle, and they wouldn't fit. So I had to actually go in to a different store and get those changed, because the store I went to originally didn't have the right ones. So kind of a pain. So, you know, just take a look at what you got before you take it apart. And the other thing is, have another vehicle handy. If you got to go get another part, you know, you're gonna need another vehicle. So have another vehicle handy, you know, buddy's vehicle, your wife's car, you know, your car, whatever the case may be. If you can do it, have another car handy so you can go to the auto parts store quickly if you need to. And you should only do this job when the stores are open, because you don't want to take it apart and then find out you need another part and you don't have it and you can't get it, and then you're kind of stuck. So make sure that you, you know, you do this job when the store is open. Another little thing that's handy to get too to do this job is a can of brake clean. It's a spray cleaner that cleans off oils and brake dust and stuff from the brake system. It's called Brake Clean, and you know, different companies make it. But I would certainly get a can or two of that. And if you're on concrete or whatever, I also recommend having some cardboard to put under as you work, because it's doing brakes is kind of a dirty job. There's a lot of dust and crap, obviously, as the brakes wear, they get dusty. So there's often a lot of crap that comes out. Sometimes you spill some of the hydraulic brake fluid, depending on what you're doing. So if you want to put something underneath to keep the floor clean, you know, go ahead and do that as well. So once you get all your parts, if you look at the the brake assembly where the pads are on the back, you're going to see a big, you know, obviously it's going to be a big metal frame or steel frame around the pads, holding them all in place. And then in the back, you're going to actually see the brake line come down, and it's going to go into that cylinder that actually applies the brakes. That cylinder arrangement on a disc brake system is called the brake caliper. And in a drum situation, I think it's called the brake cylinder. In drum brakes, you can actually get kits to rebuild them, but in disc brakes, what you do is you get a whole new caliper assembly. And they're not that expensive, really. I priced them for my Honda; they were like 60 bucks. They're not that expensive. You know, so if one is leaking or it's really hanging up or something, and you need to replace it, you can get those as well. But generally, for a brake job, you don't need to touch those. Well, you have to touch them, but you don't have to replace them. Usually, they're just fine. So on the back, on the caliper, there's usually two bolts, one on the top and one on the bottom. And they're usually not terribly large bolts. You know, they might be 3/8 to a 1/2 inch type size bolts. And typically you're going to see, well, not always, but usually you're going to see like a rubber boot below those bolts. And what those bolts do, those are the bolts that actually disconnect the caliper from the frame of the brake assembly itself. And if you take those two bolts off, you'll actually be able to pull the caliper and the brake pads and everything right off the rotor. And if you look at your car, you'll be able to figure out what those two bolts are. There's one on the top, one on the bottom, again, right behind the pads. And quite often, but not always, quite often there's a little rubber, a little rubber boot in below them or whatever. There's also going to be some large bolts back there, usually, to take that whole frame that the brakes are mounted to off. You'll probably have to take those off, too, if you're going to do the rotors, but not right away. So start by taking those two smaller bolts off. There's also going to be another bolt that's actually on the caliper that's going to have a little rubber boot on it as well, a single one. And that's actually the brake bleeder. That's the bleed air out of the brake line. You don't want to touch that unless you're going to be doing any kind of replacement of the caliper. So just leave that alone. Don't take that little dust cap off. You'll know if you take the dust cap off, you'll see that there's a little, it's actually like a little fitting, like a little faucet, a little bolt that you loosen up and you can see where the hole is where the fluid will come out. But just leave that alone and just take those two bolts on the top and the bottom off. They're going to be pretty tight. Usually you got to put a good wrench on them, a good quality wrench, and usually I use a hammer or another bigger wrench to whack it, to loosen those up, to get them off. A lot of times they've been on there for a while, they may be rusted, and they're also tight to begin with. So in some cases, they even put like a thread lock, especially on the big bolts that hold the whole assembly on. There might actually be thread lock compound on them as well from the factory. So sometimes they take a bit of banging to get off, but go ahead and take those bolts off. Remember righty tighty, lefty loosey. Remember that you're working from basically the back of the bolt, so to speak. So it's opposite. So if you're taking that bolt off, you're actually going to be turning it to the right, which you would think would be the way to put it on, right? Because the bolt's kind of upside down. The bolt's coming towards you. So just remember to use it right, otherwise you could strip the bolts or whatever. You know, obviously I'm not going to get into this too much. I mean, you need common mechanical knowledge to do this, but take those two bolts off, and then you should be able to take the whole caliper assembly out. And sometimes you got to stick a little screwdriver in there between the rotor and the caliper and just give it a little pry. But usually they come off pretty easily. You wiggle, jiggle, and pull, and it'll usually pop off. The brake line will still be attached to the car, but the caliper will be sitting there in your hands. And usually the brake pads will be in the caliper. Sometimes the brake pads stay behind. It just depends on the car and the way they're designed. You want to let the caliper be at this point. You want to you should have like a coat hanger or something, or some box or something to rest it on, so it's not hanging from the brake line. If your brake lines are older, you might actually damage them, because the caliper can be pretty heavy, especially like in a truck or something, and it could hurt the line. So make sure you support that caliper with something. Here's a good time to take your brake cleaner and just kind of spray it off a little bit, and then take your pads off. Your inner and your outer pad off the caliper or off the rotor itself. And that's a good time, again, to inspect them and take a good look at them and take a good look at the rotor and see what shape they're in. Boy, traffic's really nasty this morning. If you're going to replace the rotors, the next step is to go ahead and do that. And again, you're going to have to take that frame off. So it's going to be two more bolts, and they're going to be really up against the back of that wheel assembly, on the hub, kind of right behind the rotor. The bolts will be back there up close. The other bolts to take off the calipers were kind of further away from you, so to speak. These will be closer, but again on the back, and they're usually a bigger bolt, usually a pretty beefy bolt. If you take those two bolts off, that frame will typically come off, and then that'll it'll be in front of you is the rotor. There won't be anything over the rotor. It'll just be the rotor in the clear, so to speak. Some rotors also have some way of holding them on, be it a screw. My Honda had a couple little Phillips screw bit, little screws that were, in the face of the rotor. I had to take those off using a little impact thing. They were kind of stuck, so it was kind of a pain to take them off. But there's those bolts, and some, my Crown Vic actually had these little clips on the lugs, where you put the lug nuts that held the rotors on. These things aren't necessary, really, because once you put the tire on, it holds everything in anyway. The tire is going to be pushing up against the brake drum or the rotor very hard and holding it up. But these things just kind of help you when you're putting it together to kind of hold everything together while you're trying to assemble it. It does make life a little bit easier when you're doing that. If you don't have those when you're putting it together, you might be able to slip a lug nut on there or something just to help hold it in. It does help if it's in the right spot when you're trying to put the caliper back in. Sometimes if the rotor's in the right spot, it'll make life a little bit easier. And not sometimes, generally, you know, it will. So once you have, you have those, the frame off, and you have whatever clips or screws or whatever holding the rotors, they should come off. Now, typically, you've got to whack them from the back with something like a, you know, heavy hammer or something, a piece of 2x4 or whatever. You could also whack them from the front on either side, because a lot of times they're kind of frozen on there with rust a little bit. You want to also make sure that any brakes are off. If you have a parking brake or whatever, make sure it's turned up. Like if you're doing the backs, if the parking brake's on, you might not be able to get the rotor off. You might not even be able to get the caliper off. So before you start your brakes, you know, brake job at all, make sure that all your brakes are actually off. And you should be able to get that rotor off. And once you get it off, you just set it aside. You know, inspect things, make sure there's nothing looks out of the ordinary, and then go ahead and install your new rotor in the reverse procedure. Put the frame back on. It's a good idea to get a copy of the instructions for your car for doing brakes. I'll mention it at this point because there's, you know, a lot of cars have little idiosyncrasies about where you should lubricate the pads or if you should lubricate the pads, and even, you know, with the rotors, if you should put any kind of lubrication anywhere or anything like that. So if you, you know, if you can get a copy of that, would be helpful. So you put your rotors, your new rotor back on, or your turned rotor, or whatever the case may be. And the next step is to start putting the caliper assembly back together. Now, of course, you want to look at your caliper closely, make sure it's not leaking any fluid, you know, and that the brake line looks like it's in good shape and all of that. And the next step is to start putting the pads back on. Now, the cylinder, you'll see the little piston cylinder, it sits on the inside. It fits, usually rubs right up against the brake, not usually, it always rubs right up against the brake pad on the inner side, typically, of the caliper assembly for the inner pad. It rubs up against the inner pad. Now, as it does that, it's pushing back on the caliper frame, the caliper itself, right? It's pushing, the caliper is pushing the pad in, so the caliper is being pushed out. The caliper is attached via those two bolts that you just took off, take it apart, to the other side of the caliper, the outer side, and as it pulls on those bolts usually slide, and it'll actually pull the outer pad in towards the rotor as well. So it actually actuates the two pads, pushes both pads against the rotor at the same time with one cylinder, or maybe two, depending on your car, if you have a performance car or whatever. Some cars have multiple cylinders to get more braking power. But anyway, so it's pushing out, the cylinder's pushing out, which is pushing the inner pad up against the rotor. And at the same time, of course, the cylinder's also pushing back on the caliper frame, and it's pulling those two bolts that you just took off, and it's pulling the outer part of that frame and pushing the pad up against the outer surface of the rotor. Boy, traffic is just horrible today, folks. Just stop and go all the way through here. Really miserable. So that's kind of how they work. Now, those sliders are very, very important. And we'll talk about that in a minute. But first, that piston, as the brakes wear down, you can imagine that piston has to push out further and further because the pads are getting thinner and thinner. So the piston's actually pushing out. For every time you hit the brakes, it's going out a little bit further each time to stop the car. And when your pads are really shot, it's going to be going out, you know, maybe a half inch or more further out than it will when the pads are new. And when you release the brakes, it doesn't actually come back in again. You just release the pressure on it. It doesn't actually retract all the way in again. What you have to do is actually push that piston somehow back into the caliper to reload the pads. Otherwise, the caliper is going to be out and adjusted for the thickness of the old pads, and you're putting in new pads that are thicker. So just the whole thing's just not going to fit together. So from my experience, and I'm not saying it's the only way, but there's usually two ways to do this. Most cars that I've worked on, what you have to do is just push that piston back in again. And on some cars, like my Accord, there's actually a looks like a plus sign on the back side of that piston. And what you do is you actually take a screwdriver and you turn that assembly, and it actually screws that little piston back into the cylinder. So you have to do it one way or the other. But before you do that, you want to take the cover off your master brake. I didn't talk about this at all. Under the hood is a up. Usually, it's on the right hand side. You know, because that's where the brake is, where the driver is. I mean, assuming it's an American, you know, car in America. If you're in, you know, England or some places, maybe you're reversed. But if you know, right above where your brake pedal is under the hood, it's going to be the master cylinder, and that's the cylinder that you're pushing on when you hit your brakes. That develops the pressure to apply the brakes at the wheels. And of course, at the top of that little cylinder arrangement is going to be a little reservoir, and that's of course where you fill up your brake fluid. When you push, as your brakes wear, and those all four of those cylinders are going out a little further and a little further, you'll notice your brake fluid starting to drop a little bit, and sometimes you'll have to add a little bit. And it's not necessarily leaking. I mean, you shouldn't be adding it hardly ever. I mean, maybe you'll add it once as your brakes wear out. As they get near the bottom, you might have to add it once. I mean, it shouldn't be like you putting brake fluid in every week or two. If that's the case, you've got a leak and you've got a problem. But if you have to add it once in 6 months or something, that's not a big deal. That's just your pads wearing out. What's going to happen when you push the pill, if you have added fluid, and if the fluid is kind of full in that little reservoir, when you push the piston back in, it's going to actually push fluid back up into that reservoir, and it could overflow as you return those pistons back to their fully inserted position. So you want to, maybe take a little bit of the fluid out with like a turkey baster or something, or just keep an eye on it, because it very well may overflow. And actually, if you do four brakes, it probably will overflow unless you take some out. So keep an eye on that. You might need to put a little something in there to take a little out, or like say a little turkey baster or something like that, get some of that fluid out. So go ahead and push those back in. Now the way to do it, if you have the old-fashioned kind where there's no screw deal, where you screw them back in again, what I do is I take a big C-clamp. I have a big, like an 8-inch C-clamp, and I'll put one of the old brake pads in the caliper up against that piston. And I'll put the screw part of the C-clamp up against that. And the other side of the C-clamp, the solid steel part, I'll put on the back of the caliper. And I'll take a look to make sure I'm not, you know, pushing on the brake lines or something like that. Come on, folks. You want to, find a solid part that you can put that up against, because you're going to put some force on it. And then just slowly crank down on the little C-clamp. So you're squeezing that piston, and what's going to happen is as you turn it, it's just going to be pushed back into the cylinder, and you want to push it in until it kind of doesn't want to go anymore, until it's flush, and then that project's all done. And again, go check your fluid level up in your cylinder, because it's going to be more full. If you have a the tourney type, like I have, it looks like a big plus sign on the back of the cylinder. You basically take something and put it in that big plus sign thing and try and turn it clockwise, and it'll actually screw in. Now what I did is I just took a really huge screwdriver and I stuck it in those slots, kind of not like you would normally drive a screw, but kind of sideways. So the screw kind of, the side of the screwdriver, you know, the point of the screwdriver actually sat in those grooves, and I went ahead and turned clockwise and turn them back in again. Before you do this, however, there's a little rubber seal around there that has to slide on the piston as the piston turns. And if the thing's been in there a while and it's kind of gunked up, it may not slide very well. So make sure you spray that good with brake cleaner and get it cleaned before you go and turn it. And then it's even a good idea to maybe spray a little WD-40 or something on that little rubber seal. You'll see it. And as you're turning it, keep an eye on that seal. If it looks like it's really being pulled or stretched, you know it's not sliding on the cylinder. You need to free it. If you keep turning it, what you're going to do is rip the seal right out of the caliper. And don't ask me how I know this, but just know that can happen. If that happens, you're not going to have the proper seal. And although it won't start leaking immediately, it will start leaking pretty soon, because you're going to be having garbage getting up against the cylinder, which is going to go in. Going to contaminate the inner seal, which will eventually make it start to leak, so you'll end up having to replace your caliper. So basically, if you do rip that seal, I recommend just replacing the caliper anyway. So anyway, return those cylinders back to their home position, however you have to do it. And then what you got to do, the next step I do is I clean the slides. Those two bolts that you took off originally to take the there's some different designs here, folks, but it's one of two designs. Those bolts that you took off, if they were very long, maybe an inch and a half, 2-3 inches long, then those bolts are also the slides, chances are. If you took them off and they were kind of greasy and black and dirty and greasy, then that's probably the case. If they're just plain bolts, then your slides might be actually in the... Those bolts might just kind of hold things together, and the slides may actually be separate. But somewhere there, there's going to be some slides, and you've got to take those apart. Take the bolt or the slide out. Sometimes you have to pull on some little rubber seals or something to pull them apart. It's usually pretty hard to mess things up here. You can just kind of pull it apart. So remember how it goes. When you take them apart, you'll notice, like I say, there's usually some grease in there. Quite often, if you're in an area that's a salty environment, you know, up here in New England or up in northern states, salt and sand and crap and dirt gets in there. Of course, even if you're in Florida, it can happen. And they can start binding and not sliding properly. If that's the case, then, you know, you need to definitely clean them. You should clean them and lube them anyway every time you do your brakes. Because if they don't slide, then your outer pad's not going to work right. So again, use some of your brake cleaner, you know, a couple paper towels, an old rag, whatever. Clean those slides off. Spray some of that bleach brake cleaner inside the hole where those bolts went, where the slides are. Spray in there, get all that crap out. If you got some kind of a little brush or a coat, not a coat hanger, like a pipe cleaner kind of a thing or something to put in there and kind of wipe it, that'd be good. But even if you just spray brake cleaner in there, you get most of it off. And then use a proper grease that's made for brakes. It's a grease that doesn't get soft when it gets hot. And go ahead and re-grease up that those slides. And again, this is why it's good to have your instruction manual for your car, your service manual, because they'll tell you exactly how to grease it, where to grease it, and how much to grease it. And that's important to know on most vehicles. So you grease those up, put them back in again, and then you're ready to start putting things back together again. Usually on the pads, where the pads sit on the ends of the pads, not on the wear surface, but on the very ends, the edges, so to speak. Usually they fit into like a little cup or something like that. And sometimes you have to put some grease on that little cup, the little area where they fit, so they could slide in and out. And some cars also recommend that. This traffic is, if you're working on the road, that's why it's all backed up. A lot of times you got to put grease on the back of the pad up against where the cylinder hits as well to take in, and keep them from squeaking. So whatever the instructions are, usually with the pads, you'll get some instructions, or with the service manual, you get them. But in either case, just follow them and put the pads back in and grease them, the way they're supposed to be greased. Okay, I had to pause. I had to get through that traffic. I saw what the problem was. They had a tractor-trailer truck flipped and leaked fluid all over the road and was pretty well smashed up. So that's why two of the four lanes were closed. And that's why it took me 45 minutes to go like 8 miles. anyway, we're through that and we're rolling again. So I am now happy. But I'm certainly going to be late to work again. But what else is new? So anyway, as I said, once you get your slides all straightened out and you've lubed the pads, however the manufacturer says to do that, or the brake pad manufacturer says to do that, time to put things back together again. You're going to put the pads back into wherever they go on the caliper assembly or around the. Of course, if you put your pads, well, I already talked about that, never mind. Put the pads back in, in the place where they go, either on the caliper itself or on the frame, and then put your calipers back in, put your bolts back together, and tighten everything down. When you're putting the calipers back in, sometimes you have to squeeze those slides a little bit, move them a little bit to get them to fit in there. Don't force the thing. Sometimes there's kind of a spring deal that holds the pads, so sometimes you have to push down kind of hard. But you can tell that you're pushing like a little bit of spring steel. You'll see it. That's my Honda's like that on the front. You look at it, it'll kind of tell you how to do it, and certainly follow the instructions. And just put things back together. Put the bolts back in. Make sure they're tight. If the manufacturer calls for a little bit of Loctite or something to keep them from coming loose, you can go ahead and use that. And just put them back together again, and the job's done. I mean, it's not that complicated, but it takes... you're going to spend a couple hours to do a front brake job if everything goes well. Just be careful and keep an eye on it. And only do one side at a time, folks. So if you screw up and can't figure out how things go together, you can always look at the other side. That's especially important with drum brakes, because there's so many more parts. I didn't talk about those, but you know, they pretty much work the same, but it's just different. It's a different way of doing it, and you know, it's real important to do one side at a time. So if there's a little part and you don't know where it goes, you can always go look at the other side, and it kind of gives you a good idea. So that's kind of how you do brakes. The last thing I'll comment on, and your instruction on, you know, your car manual will tell you when to do this. Those two other things I'll talk about. The first thing is the brake fluid itself. You want to make sure you use a good quality, you know, DOT brake fluid that's made for your vehicle. If brake fluid gets water in it, what can happen is if you're doing a lot of heavy braking or moisture, if you're doing a lot of heavy braking, the brake fluid can get very hot. And what can happen is the water can actually start boiling or steaming. And that'll introduce gas into the brake system instead of just fluid. And what happens is when you hit your brakes, that gas will compress, and it'll take up the fluid as you're pushing the brake. Instead of pushing on the cylinders, you'll actually lose braking power or lose brakes altogether. So you want to make sure that no moisture gets into your braking system at all costs. I mean, you want to make sure you leave the cover on the master cylinder. It's a sealed system. None should get in there. But just make sure the cover's on the master cylinder at all times, you know, unless you're filling it or something. And if you suspect some moisture somehow got in there, then, you know, just change your fluid. Now, your manual is going to tell you probably have to change your fluid anyway every so many years or so many miles. How I changed the fluid is I went and bought one of these little MightyVac little vacuum pumps. They're not that expensive. They're like $40 maybe or something. I got mine at like Harbor Freight or whatever. But it's a little plastic pump. You know, you squeeze the thing and it makes a little vacuum. And then they give you a bunch of tubes and a little cup that comes with it. And you basically put a tube from the pump to the cup. And then a tube comes out of the cup, and that is your vacuum. And as you pump it, it actually sucks the air through, or fluid or whatever you're sucking, through that little cup. And it actually leaves the fluid in the cup, and then just the air that you're sucking goes into the pump. And you can put that, they give you a little fitting that goes on the brake bleeder that I talked about earlier, and you can put one of those little fittings on the brake bleeder and loosen that bolt up and start sucking, and you'll actually suck the fluid right out of the brake, right out of the cylinder, and actually, you know, suck fluid down right out of the braking system. So what you want to do, first of all, if you're doing it this way, is go up and suck as much of the fluid as you can out of the master brake cylinder, you know, up under the hood, that little tub on the top. You want to empty that of the old fluid and pour in new fluid, and then go around to each of the bleeder valves and hook up your little suction device and keep sucking until the fluid's clear again. While you're doing this, you want to make sure you keep at, you know, reasonable intervals going up and filling up the reservoir up under the hood, because you're going to be drawing fluid down through the system. And with me, it took a few cups the first time to get some clear fluid, but then the other wheels didn't take nearly as much. I guess I had to flush out, you know, the cylinder itself or whatever. But after I did that, it didn't take that much to get the clear fluid. And boy, there was a difference. The old fluid kind of looked like used motor oil. The new fluid was clear. So it really was pretty obvious when the old fluid was gone and the new fluid was coming through. So it's a good idea to do that periodically. The other way you can do that is just loosen up all your bleeders, put a little cup under, and they'll actually start leaking. Fluid, because your master cylinder reservoir is up high, and your bleeder valves are down low, so gravity will slowly have it go through. So you can, again, drain as much out of the master cylinder tub as you can, you know, with a turkey baster or something, and then pour in new fluid, go around, open up all four of the little bleeders, and just let it drip through. And, you know, you can just keep topping off your master cylinder every now and then to keep it full, and just let it drip until you're seeing clean fluid drip, and then go around and tighten them all up. Now, if you have to replace a caliper, which is the cylinder part at the wheel, you're going to have to bleed the brakes, because when you take that off, you're putting a new caliper in that doesn't have any brake fluid in it, so it's going to have air in it. And of course, when you hit the brakes and there's air, the air will compress and it will not push the cylinder out, and you will have no brakes, okay? So you've got to take that little, you can do it with a vacuum pump again. You can take off that you can loosen up that little the little bleeder valve, put your pump on, and start sucking till you have no more air coming out. And that should be good. Then you can retighten it back up again. The other way to do it, if you don't have a vacuum pump, is just to put a wrench on that little bleeder valve and have your friend, wife, son, daughter, whoever, sit in the car and apply very gentle pressure to the brake. And as they do that, you're going to release that, you know, put a little hose or a little cup there or something, because it's going to squirt fluid. We'll air it first. But go ahead and release or loosen that little bleeder valve. And as you do that, the driver's foot is going to start dropping, and it's going to go all the way to the floor. And when it gets to the floor, have the other person just hold it on the floor, and at that point, you're going to tighten the bleeding valve back up again. And then, you know, and you only have to do it like a half a turn. It's or a quarter of a turn. You don't have to open it very much. And then have them let the pedal come back up again, and then have them start putting gentle pressure on the pad again, and then on the pedal again. And then you're going to release that, open up that valve, that, you know, that bleeder valve again, and again, air will start to come out. After a couple of these pumps, slowly, having it open only when the pedal's going to the floor. Once it's to the floor, you want to close it. After a couple cycles of this, you're going to see that only start clean fluid is going to start squirting out the valve. As that's happening, or once that starts happening, have the person, you know, do that little pump routine one more time, but have them, as the pedal's going to the floor, have them drop it very slowly, have them push it down very slowly. And once you see the fluid flowing clean on that last pump, go ahead and tighten down the valve as the foot's going to the floor, and it should, as soon as you close that valve, it should stop. The pedal should stop, and then the person should be able to test the brakes with the pedal, and it should be nice and firm. It shouldn't, you know, should feel normal. It shouldn't be going to the floor, which is another little thing I forgot to mention earlier. If your brakes feel mushy, if you're hitting the brakes and they're not grabbing like they should, and the pedal's going further to the floor, it doesn't feel firm, it's soft, then you've got air in your system. That's what's happening. You need to bleed the brakes. And that, usually that happens again after you do one of the wheel cylinders, if you didn't, or the calipers rather, if you didn't bleed it properly, you'll get that feeling. But I guess it's also possible if there's a leak in the system as well. If there's a leak anywhere, if that's feeling mushy and you didn't do anything to the brakes, then you've probably got a leak. You need to start looking at your lines. They do rust out, you know, corrode after a while, and they could leak. The rubber hoses could start breaking or leaking. So you want to, you know, if it's mushy, you definitely want to take a look around for a leaky brake line or cylinder somewhere or something. You could also have a problem with the master cylinder as well, but that's kind of getting into advanced work. I'm not going to talk about that here. But that's basically how you change the fluid and how you bleed the brakes. It's very much the same process. You can also do the fluid change like you're going to bleed the brakes. Have the person pump, pump, and that's pumping it down through, and, you know, just basically keep bleeding it until the clean fluid comes out. You can do that as well. But keep your fluid clean, because that's kind of important, folks. You don't want to have any moisture or contaminants in there. If the fluid's very old and black and dirty, then you know that crap's all in your system. And all those little, there's a bunch of little cylinders that are moving around every time you hit the brakes, and all that crap's going to start building up and could start causing problems with seals and stuff. So I recommend you change the fluid, you know, as per the recommendations of the manufacturer. It's never a bad idea. So that's your brake primer at about an hour and 2 minutes. So hopefully it gave you some ideas of, you know, how to do a brake job. And certainly I'm sure there's some YouTube videos out there as well that you can listen, that you can probably watch. And get a better idea. I was going to videotape myself doing it, but I can't operate the camera and do brakes. It's just too greasy. I can't, you know, keep touching the camera with greasy hands. So I didn't bother doing that. Didn't have anybody else to do it. So it is what it is. But anyway, it kind of explains the system, and you can take it for what it's worth. Again, I'm not a mechanic. Don't sue me if you do it wrong. Look at the manual for your vehicle and follow that exactly. My speech was, of course, just a general guideline of how to do it, just so you have an idea of what you're getting into before you start doing it. So with that, I'm going to sign with you. I want to thank folks for listening to the Homeowner's Friend Podcast.
Don't try this at home. I'm a trained professional. I got years and years of practice living this life I lead. Don't try this at home. I'm a trained professional. And I don't want no amateurs ending up like me. I don't want no amateurs ending up like me. like me.
The Homeowner's Friend theme song, Trained Professionals by Billy Bourbon, is available on musicalley.com. Check them out.